Derek Nowak, the vocalist of So Much Hope Buried, meets with the Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
I'm happy to be here. This is really cool. I appreciate it.
You know, I think that your band may go down in history as having the most depressing band name of all time. How did you come up with calling it So Much Hope Buried?
Great question. It's more just with the subject matter of the lyrics, and we're very artsy, you know, and, you know, adding a comma and a period in the name just kind of was the cherry on top with the whole artsy vibe that we were going for. And So Much Hope, kind of just burying all your hopes and kind of growing from that, was the main idea that we came up with. And it just really stuck. Yeah, it's kind of long. Some people like abbreviate it and just say like So Much Hope is playing tonight, you know, instead of saying buried. So it's cool.
We'll keep it straight. You know, quite a few bands struggle to keep band members. How's it been with your lineup?
So we have a new lineup that is relatively new. It's about 3 years old now, and I'm hoping it sticks now. And it was a little different in the beginning, but now we have this solid sound, especially with the new album that's coming out. We definitely kind of found our sound, you know?
Right. Well, maybe then you should fill us in about who's involved in the band right now.
Yeah, of course. So there's Eric Navrosky, which is our drummer, and he's also our producer and mixing and mastering for all of our albums, which is, we're very grateful that he's able to do that for us. And his studio is beautiful. It's called Novro Studios. He has his own studio. His wife is also our videographer. So it's kind of like an all hands on deck group we have. And then we have Andrew Blank on guitar. Him and Eric are kind of like the original lineup here from when we first originated.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, again, he is doing insane with our social media right now. He is killing it on like TikTok, and he really knows the ins and outs of that. And he also is an incredible guitar player and writer. Same goes with Eric, even with guitar too, because everyone in my band can play every single instrument. So very talented group. And we also have Gavin Jacobs on bass. He is kind of the newer member in our group that just fits so well. He's such a great person. He's so funny. And he's an incredible player as well, writer as well. And he's also like a monster at the guitar too. So very grateful to be in a band with these guys.
So you really are multi-talented.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you're artistic. And a lot of bands aren't artistic. But we're going to get into talking about that later on too.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to explain that I'm sort of a boring guy. And I like to run through a band's discography chronologically. Now, the earliest song I could track down from So Much Hope Buried was Worry.
Yeah.
Am I right? That single released in 2020?
Correct. Yeah. So it was during the COVID lockdown there. And our old vocalist, he was a friend of mine named Bart, and he was our like spoken word vocalist. He also did some screaming. And I really loved his message and his lyrics. And I just decided to kind of, you know, write something with him. And I sat down at the piano and we wrote like a sad piano ballad. Kind of there's spoken word poetry in it. And so like melodic like vocals as well. And it turned out really beautiful. My brother helped write some guitar on that. My brother Dylan, and he also mixed and mastered it. So I'm really happy. Every time I listen to that song, it kind of is very nostalgic to me. And it's kind of like where everything originated, because we were in this kind of mindset to write like melodic hardcore, which is a big scene kind of all over the world. There's a big scene in Japan. There's a big scene in Indonesia. So like I was always a big fan of diving into those melodic hardcore bands, and decided to create one with my friends. So that's kind of where it originated.
You mentioned that song was sad. I think depressing is still a better term. And that's how that song opens up.
Right.
Aimlessness encompasses me, indulging all my joy and peace. I'm drowning in despondency. I hold myself under the waves. But something about the song is that it does end on a positive note.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't write the lyrics to that. That was our old vocalist there, and he was an incredible lyricist. You know, I learned a lot from his words.
Then after that, the debut Sentiment came out in 2022. That means you guys must have been working on the release during COVID. So how did you manage doing the recording?
So after Worry, we came out with the song called Desert Child. And that was kind of formed because we wanted to like think bigger and imagine what it could sound like with a full band. That's when I reached out to Andrew. I kind of grew up playing with his band, Send Request.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big band. Again, I was already kind of close with him through college. And I reached out to him and I asked if he wanted to be a part of this project. And his response was literally, yep, sounds good. All right, see ya. And then we just hang up. So I think he was like driving at the time, but he was super on board. So then we wrote that song, Desert Child. And then we ended up recording at Novro Studios because, and I know Eric also from college. So it all kind of came full circle. And we recorded drums at his studio as well as some vocals. And then that's when I asked Eric to be in the band to play drums. You know, he was a little hesitant at first because he had his other band, Toothless. But it ended up kind of being really like infatuated with our sound. And I'm so grateful that he likes it, you know?
Now, you already mentioned about the vocal style on that release. And that really comes up on what I thought was a standout from the EP, which was Keepsake. You know, because yeah. It's got that raw sounding spoken word. It's kind of like the things that hotel books used to do.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yep. That was a huge inspiration for that season with the band.
I think going that way gives the lyrics a stronger impact, especially on an emotional song like that one.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys were looking for?
Yeah, 100%. And that was kind of like the main moment where we all kind of looked at each other when we started writing, because we just sat in a room and we just kind of like improvised and we just started like riffing on a very like sad but hopeful kind of sound, and it kept building and building and building to a climax, and we were just so in love with it. And then of course our vocalist at the time added his lyrics to it, and it just, you know, it hit like a punch, like you got punched in the face because it was with emotion, you know.
So when So Much Hope Buried began, were all the band members on the same page about what they wanted to create?
Not really. And that's why there was a shift in members, because, I mean, it kind of does sound a little cliche, but we did have honest creative differences in some of the members. And they just wanted to go a different route with a vibe. And everyone kind of had the, you know, specific mindset of wanting to stay kind of like be experimental with our sound and be unique. And, you know, and that's kind of why we kind of formed a new sound with the current, you know, season with So Much Hope.
So it was a big change then for you taking over as vocalist.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what everyone, you know, Eric and Andrew kind of agreed on. And, you know, they thought, you know, I'm a singer. Why not? We can sing and we can make like a rock band out of it, but have that kind of melodic sound and have a piano driven frontman. You know, it's kind of a very unique approach to a band that most people don't do today.
Well, see, that's the whole thing about your band. So Much Hope Buried. Your style ranges all over the place. You know, sure, it's post-hardcore, but, you know, it's not limited to that.
No, correct. Yeah.
So then you find on the I'd Be Lying to Say I'm Not Weak album, the song Idle Hands finishes with jazz.
Like, oh, yeah.
What, were you guys just wanting to have some fun doing that?
Exactly that. I mean, yeah. I mean, Idle Hands was such a cool experience when writing, because we were actually talking about this a couple days ago, and it started with me and Andrew just coming up with that, like, that piano intro and then coming in with that riff. And then Eric was talking about how he came in, but something was happening in his house where he was like angry. So he came into the studio angry, and we already had this written. So he's like, I just want to write something. And then he came in with this like riff and drum beat, and it just kind of came together. And I played saxophone in high school, and I always wanted to bring that back. And Andrew actually came up with the idea to put the saxophone in the record, and I'm happy we did, because it's an awesome moment. And I think Eric is also trained in jazz. In high school, I was also like always really good at soloing in jazz band. So why not just add it, you know? Why not?
You brought in the sax, and you also didn't turn the band into a ska band.
Right. We can do some ska. I'm not, you know, why not? Next album?
It's got to evolve.
True.
You know, another song that brings in something different is Vacant Home. You already mentioned about enjoying bands from around the world. And with this song, you brought in a Japanese vocalist.
Yes.
How did you arrange that?
So Vacant Home was written when we were still in the mindset of that like melodic hardcore style.
Mm-hmm.
There's blast beats in that song. There's a lot of like powerful, like emotional, like atmospheric moments. So we already had the intention on having a featured screamer on the song. One day, me and Eric were listening to a Japanese melodic hardcore band, and it brought to my mindset of a band that I really love called Fall of Tears from Japan. And again, that all was stemmed from me being obsessed with melodic hardcore, and kind of found that band through that scene. And we just decided to reach out to the singer of the band. There was sort of a language barrier there, but we were very excited to see that he was all on board. Yeah, he wrote all the lyrics to that part. No, it was a really cool moment.
That's a serious song. Part of one of the verses says, I'm stuck here with honest eyes. The dust seems to cloud my mind in this vacant home. Who came up with that?
I did. When it comes to, I'm a big fan of like film, and I love poetic imagery. So when I wrote that song, I was picturing, I was always a big fan of like the architectural, like decaying of buildings and like the artistry of it. And when I wrote that, the lyrics, I kind of put myself, and I try to be very metaphorical with my lyric writing, being that I'm kind of describing like a vacant house, very in detail of specific aspects of the house, while tying that in with emotion and loss with the storyline of the song, creating that metaphorical idea of kind of like mixing like broken, you know, floorboards, or like even hope being buried, pun intended. But yeah, I just try to be very poetic with imagery, and that was probably my favorite moment doing that, by writing those lyrics.
You seem to make that sound as if you're actually going to be visualizing everything that you're singing about. Do you think your listeners are doing that?
I hope so. I try to be very like specific with the imagery, and I'm sure it kind of gets the message across.
It's funny how you mentioned about the decay in that song. It also makes me curious then, are the songs of So Much Hope buried, usually on the dark side?
They're definitely on the dark side when it comes to like mental illness, because it's more relatable that way, but it's also very religious as well. And, you know, a lot, I like to write about God, but I don't like to like go too deep with that, but I try to keep it very vague. So anyone listening, if they're religious, if they're not, they could relate to the lyrics in different ways. And that's what I try to strive to when I write lyrics.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, the band released the single Apparition. Part of the chorus says, I wish I knew where you were in the afterlife so I can find your ghost. You were talking about the spiritual aspect of your songs. even Christians struggle with the concept of an afterlife.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this song is going to make it any easier for them.
I mean, yeah, I agree. It's more of just like storytelling. That specific song, Apparition and Evanescent, those two songs were written not from like my experience or anything. They were just written in like a storytelling way. I've always wanted to write a song about a ghost because I just love movies about ghosts. So it just kind of was really fitting, and it made up for a very like really good kind of mainstream song. Because like with our standalone singles, we try to be very mindful of appealing to today's crowd, you know, with a really catchy chorus and, you know, simple song structure. And then for the album, we dive into that experimental aspect of it. So with the singles, I kind of set aside, you know, my personal lyric writing and kind of made a story about, you know, somebody who lost somebody and now they're like a ghost and they're trying to understand.
You guys need to just do whatever you feel like doing. Because I'm thinking like about the song Worry About Me.
Yes.
It's entirely piano. The thing is, it's also an absolutely perfect song.
Oh, thank you.
It's mellow, it's sad. And it closes with, I'm losing fight, looking back all the dreams I've lost. I'm screaming in my head. Yes. How does anyone carry on when their dreams are lost?
No, 100%. Well, so my wife helped me write those lyrics. I don't know if the guys know that, but my wife, Melissa, like most humans, we struggle with what we want to do with our life and trying to find her purpose in life. And, you know, she's killing it, but she helped me write those lyrics because, yeah, I just wanted to write a song about, you know, what she's feeling and what she's going through. Yeah, that's a very personal song.
Are you even concerned at all what listeners think about your music? Were you doing this just because this is the way you want to do it?
That's a good question. Sometimes we are concerned and sometimes we're not. So like, you know, sometimes we have the mentality of like when we're writing an album, we want to have at least one or two songs on there that could be really great singles to kind of pull the audience in. And then when they sit down and listen to the record, they're taken through like a journey that they didn't expect. So that's definitely the main mindset when we're all in the studio like writing with each other, and that's the main mindset. It's like if we wrote a whole album, which songs do we think that would resonate with the crowd more when it comes to, you know, the melodies, the upbeat vibe of it, the, you know, like, will people like this, you know? So we try to find the best songs that would work with an audience today.
Earlier on you were talking about your music style. And it sounds like it's been evolving for you. Now it's time for you to put an official label on the band's sound. Can you do it?
Honestly, we just say rock. When somebody asks me what kind of music, I usually say like, we're like a piano-fronted rock band. That's what I say. And then, you know, some people would be like, oh, like Billy Joel, or you know what I mean?
Like, I was just going to say like Billy Joel. Far from it.
I guess you can say like Billy Joel, but more like nothing like it. No, we're like a piano driven rock band, but we write our own music. And that kind of gets the message across where it's more of like modern sound instead of like, you know, cover songs from like the, you know, 70s, 80s.
Okay, you obviously haven't helped me in the least there. When I go to label this show and everybody wants to know what kind of style it is, I said, I don't know. The band doesn't know.
True. And I mean, I think that's the beauty of it, because like songwriters, we like to be as unique as possible. And when we blend all of our favorite music together, because we all have different tastes in music, so when we blend it together, it creates something that's super unique and different. You know, a lot of people say we're like a post-hardcore band, and I can agree with that.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, you remind me a bit of like My Epic.
Yeah, okay.
Or as I've once mentioned to you, as being as an ocean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's definitely where a lot of inspiration came from in the beginning origins of the band.
You and I have been going on and on about all your past music, mm-hmm. but now it's time to get into what's coming. which is Wither Grow, the upcoming album from So Much Hope Buried.
Yes.
And you guys are sports because you're actually letting us air some of the songs, even though the album hasn't released yet.
Yes.
With this album, it looks like you've given it a theme.
Yes. It's a concept album. Did you listen to the whole record?
Multiple times.
I'm hoping you liked it.
I did, and it took me a little bit to get through it because, again, it's a little bit different from what you've done before.
Definitely.
But I'm starting to discover that's the way it always seems to work with the band.
Yeah. We try to be as different as we can and kind of add new sounds and stuff. But yeah, Wither Grow is a concept album. It started 3 years ago, the idea of it. Our song called Dissolve wasn't called Dissolve. It was actually called Wither Grow. And just for, you know, to have that artsy side again and, you know, kind of fit with the lyrics in that song. We scrapped that song name because Eric actually thought of a brilliant idea to create a concept album. So Wither would be the first half of the record, and then Grow would be the second half. We didn't talk about storyline. We just talked about sound.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the record is super, like, gloomy and sad. And then the second half, you know, it would be Grow. So it would be growth. It would be hopeful, contentment. So that was kind of like where it started about 3 years ago, and now we're here.
So you had asked me what I thought about the album. Like, I find the first half of the album has this more aggressive sound compared to the last half, you know, except for maybe the song Paper Thin. So that was intentional. You said you were working on the sound first, and then the lyrics came later.
Yes, and that's how it always is. I have to write a melody before lyrics even come in because if I write lyrics and then I have to form the melody around the lyrics, and it doesn't fit right for me. So when I write a melody, then I can write lyrics to the melody, and it just works a lot better for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
We were very intentional on the sound of the record.
So one of the songs that's dark, and I do mean really, really dark, is Drowning in the Dark.
Yes.
Time ticks by. It's pulling me beneath the weight. I reach for something lost, but it dissipates. You know, the question is, what do you find on the other side?
So, yeah, when it comes to that song, that's the climax of the record. That's literally death when that song comes. We try to make that super dark as we can, because that's literally the end of this. It's not the end of the character, but it's the end of his life, and he's struggling, and he's trying to, you know, survive, and unfortunately he does die. But right after that, he has a spiritual awakening, and then it kind of changes. So the lyrics dive really deep into that kind of questioning and trying to figure out why this is happening, and then trying to take hold of your life and just have more time.
And you write it poetically, which is so different from so many bands.
Yeah.
They lose the poetry aspect of the lyrics.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree. It's definitely challenging. I wouldn't say it's weak, but that's the one thing I struggle with the most is lyrics. Because I can't even talk correctly sometimes. So being somebody who is, like, even nervous to do a podcast, you know, it's hard to get words out sometimes. So, like, I'm very, very hypercritical on my lyric writing. And it's mainly just because my grammar is usually bad. So, like, when I write something, I just have to make sure it's correct and everything kind of works out. But yes, I love the poetry, the metaphors. I love all that kind of stuff. And when I add that into the lyrics, it really creates a picture. And with that song, it basically just encompasses death and sadness. And, you know, that's when the album truly changes into something not horrible.
You live with your editor. Your wife is there to help you out in every part of this.
Yeah, 100%. You know, all these lyrics. I did try to keep a lot from her. I didn't want to show her everything until it was kind of like finished. Kind of like surprise. I don't know. I like doing that. I kind of did that with this record with my parents as well.
Right. You released Vulture as one of the singles, and that's on that first side. So again, with that more aggressive sound.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that one in particular?
So with Falter, that song was written entirely from our bass player. So that was kind of like his, hey guys, I can write music. You know what I mean? Because he's the newest member in the band, and he didn't write anything in I'd Be Lying to Say I'm Not Weak. So being that, you know, he obviously wanted to have a helping hand with writing, and when he came to us with that song, we were like blown away. We're like, wow. We didn't really tweak that song too much. We just I wrote a melody and lyrics to it, and we kind of just, I added some piano parts in that. We did some experimental stuff in like the second verse. We made it super complicated, you know, some like intricate stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, that song, I'm gonna just flat out say, is probably my favorite chorus I've ever written. I love that melody, and I've had that melody in my head for a while, and adding it to that song just heightened the emotion of it. And I think that song was like the perfect like opener, because it has a specific lyric in it. Light a fire in my heart and I'll burn for you tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go right out and say that that's where the heart of the record is. The original spark for the record came from a Bible verse. When I'm writing lyrics, sometimes if I'm stuck, I would go through Bible verses. I'm not like fluent on scripture, but there's one verse that really stuck with me, and that was Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And it's kind of like that idea of something burning inside of you that you can't hold in anymore. That is the heart of the record. So if you read all the lyrics, that idea of something burning inside, the fire burning inside, and comes up so much in this record. So I wanted to find a way to have this character who was terminally ill, they die, and then halfway through the record, they awake, but spiritually, and they observe their life from the point of being basically in the afterlife. And I just thought Jeremiah 20 verse 9 was a perfect way to bring the whole record together and have that be the underlying story kind of built with that.
So Much Hope Buried made a definite switch for the second half of Wither Grow. And that was by bringing in the instrumental Respite. It's like you've got volume one, volume two. So that was your bookend.
Correct. Yeah, that was the whole, like, the idea from the beginning was to, you know, have that Wither side and then the Grow side, and to have that emotional buildup. Respite, basically just the quiet after something horrible.
And it gave you a chance to show off your skills on the piano.
Yeah. Honestly, I think piano-wise with this record, I definitely challenged myself. There's a lot of like jazz licks going on, like jazz runs that I never thought I could ever do. But, you know, really taking inspiration from jazz piano. And then there's a lot of melodic piano runs that I also do, especially in that song. It starts in the key of Drowning in the Dark, and then throughout that piano piece, it changes key, and then it ends on a more hopeful sound that leads right into the second half of the record. So, like, I'm very excited for listeners to fully embrace that moment and listen to it all the way through to get the full picture of what we were trying to create.
You think people will actually take the time? I'd hope so. But realistically, will they take the time?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so as well. Our first single was Respite, that piano piece. So we kind of like surprised an audience of like, what is this? It's just a piano piece. Is this their song? Is this a single? Like, what's going on? And then 4 days later, we came out with our first single. And also being on YouTube with our music videos, saying chapter 5 and then chapter 2. I hope it just gets the message across that this is something that you have to experience. And when you listen to the record, you'll realize. And we do have a good amount of fans who are super invested in this as much as we are. And I'm very blessed that they are into it. And I know that they will definitely appreciate what we did here.
You've mentioned a couple times about the faith aspect in your music. personally, I find that tends to sit into the background. You know, you're not out pounding on the pulpit, but you do bring it to the forefront on lament when it shares, "Restore me of righteousness, undeserving of recompense, dear Lord." So you didn't want anyone to have any doubts at all about where you were going with this album.
Correct. I mean, that was the only song that I wrote completely. I wrote that on piano, the whole song. And then, you know, my incredible friends took their two cents in that and they wrote, you know, guitar and drums to it. And it just came out to my personal favorite track on the album. And it's also the most personal song I've ever written. Worry About Me is definitely personal, but Lament is a song that is extremely personal and it kind of studies my faith and kind of how I feel about, you know, religion and how I don't have enough faith as I really want. So kind of diving into that idea of wanting faith and feeling like when you grew up, like when I grew up in like the church and then I kind of stopped doing it when I got older. I feel like I kind of lost touch with it. And this song is like my cry for like, I'm sorry, you know, and I wish I didn't do that. And I want to kind of get back into it. And I feel like I kind of lost some faith. And, you know, it's me trying to find that faith.
I've really been curious about something. I know you said that your fans are invested in your music, but of course the band is the ultimate investment with all that time and energy. So what does the band get out of making the music? What's their motivation?
I think just being together. We don't write together as like we have a specific vibe in mind. It's more of like we're just happy to be here with each other and to be able to write music together. And we do treat it as a, you know, a business, of course. But I think the main thing is to like just want to be together and write music together and do what makes us happy. And I'm sure everyone can attest to that. So yeah, I would say anything we write doesn't have to be emotional. It could be, you know, that generic, you know, rock song. Whatever we write, we're going to have a specific connection with it because we wrote it together. And, you know, it doesn't matter what genre we play. We're creating together, and I think that's the most important thing.
So there is still hope that the ska band thing is going to happen.
Honestly, yeah, I think ska, even some mariachi.
Mariachi, that would be cool.
Yeah, I have a soprano sax that I kind of want to crank out. You know.
Okay, I want to bring in a final song from Wither Grow. In Hindsight has a verse that goes, "Fighting through what's been so wrong, and I've been lost for far too long. On the inside, looking back in hindsight, here's something that I need to know. Can we learn anything by actually looking back in time?"
Definitely. I think kind of reflecting on, you know, your life. I mean, in the album sense, his kind of spiritual self is kind of reflecting on his life, all the horrible stuff that he went through. I mean, with the whole Jeremiah story, at the end of the album, he learns that the fever within him, the fire in his heart, he kind of thought that was a bad thing, because he was dying from it and he passed away, but it was more of God kind of calling him home. Yeah, that fire within him was God's word. You know, with that song In Hindsight specifically, is that moment where he kind of just looks back on his life and realizes that it all happened for a reason. And it's pretty deep.
The whole album is deep. That's yeah. The thing.
Definitely, yeah.
So then it's time for you to be critical and honest with me. Is Wither Grow the pinnacle of So Much Hope Buried?
Yeah, I think Wither Grow, when it comes to the music, like the writing, Wither Grow is definitely our most personal sound yet. I think Wither Grow is the pinnacle record that is the So Much Hope Buried sound. Of course, it's going to go through that post-hardcore sound, and then it's going to go through that metal sound, and then you have the pop-punk sound. So, like, yes, we do go through all these different sounds, but I think we're understanding the placement with the piano, as well as just the overall vibe of our band.
Well, I'm certainly glad you made it. Thanks so much for this chat, Derek. It's been cool to have you on The Antidote for a talk.
No, I appreciate, I appreciate you. Our new album, Wither Grow, comes out on June 12th. You can pre-order it at somuchhopeberry.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the record. It means a lot to us, and it's a pleasure meeting you.